Blog Talk Radio.
Call on him and ask him, and he will be with you. You will feel that he is with you, but he's always with us. Amen, amen, amen. And that's why I love that song. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no, because he's always, always in control, and he's always, always with us. And so I'm happy, happy, happy on tonight that I am able to actually do the broadcast to you again. Praise God. but I'm actually able to do it from my home. Last week, I did it from the hospital. Can you believe that? But nevertheless, I am grateful each time that I have an opportunity to share the gospel. So welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of you that don't know, my name is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God, and I'm so excited, as I keep saying, that I am here today, and I'm going to explain a little bit more in a few moments. But I want to make sure that I always, always, always greet those for the very first time. If this is your very first time, I pray that you will be encouraged, that you will be educated, and that you will be empowered, all to the glory of God. We do broadcasts that have an encouraging word, and then we try to educate you on something. It may not be a brand new topic, but at least one that will give you some insight to make you think, to make you maybe not question where you are, but at least think about if there's some changes that God would have for you so that you can educate yourself so that you'll know the proper way to make those changes and then be empowered to make those changes and then not keep it to yourself, but be empowered to share it with someone else. So again, we pray that you will be encouraged, that you will be educated, and that you'll be empowered all to the glory of God. Amen. For those of you, can you believe in a couple months, I'll be able to say that we've been in this thing for 10 years. 10 years. And that's going to mean another significant thing in a few moments. Well, praise God. I'm so grateful that you've been here with me, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, or the full 10 years. Whether you've gone away and come back, however it is, I'm grateful. Even those of you that go and listen to the archive broadcast, and a couple months ago I looked and I thought, oh, wow, I didn't realize almost as many people watch the archives as they do the broadcast. So I'm just grateful that you tune in each week and that I know that you're praying for me. I know that you're keeping me focused and keeping me encouraged. And I'm about to really explain to you why your prayers are significant in just a few moments. But I'm grateful for you and thank you. Now, I would not be here, praise God, if it wasn't for Tammy and Jesse Store. Put them together, Jamie. But nevertheless, Jesse and Tammy Store, I say their names every week because it is significant that I acknowledge them because they were the ones that brought me to this platform. They are the ones that keep me on this platform, that keep me encouraged, that keep me focused, that keep me supported, and they continue to do what God has called them to do, and that is to empower others to do what God has called them to do. So I will always be indebted to them and grateful for them for continuing to motivate not just me, but so many others. And we get to see that. And so there are two examples of what it means to help others, disciple others. And so I will always, always, always give them a shout out. Our biggest and our greatest shout out has to go to our Father above. Whether you know it or not, He's your Father. He's my Father. He's all of our fathers. Whether we've acknowledged Him or not, He is our Father, and He loves us so much. And so we have to give our biggest praise and shout out to Him. So before we go into our lesson, we always acknowledge you, start with an upbeat song to get us in the mood for the lesson, and then we give God the grace and praise that He needs. So we do that by going to Him with prayer. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before You thanking You for Your wonderful, wonderful blessing. We thank You, Father, for loving us, even when we don't even understand what the word love means. But You loved us enough to provide so many things for us, the resources, the love, the patience. I mean, just words we can't even spell some of them. But we just thank You, Father, for being there for us and letting us know that You love us and providing miracles and all these things that You do for us so that we can continue to live in this system. And then to live in this system blessed and abundant. And Father, when we miss it and we fall short and we miss the good blessings that You have for us because of our disobedience, You still provide a way for us to just ask for forgiveness, and You forgive us, and You allow us to be able to become one and whole with You. And You don't hold back Your love and Your grace and Your mercy, and so we're grateful for that. And so we love You, and we have to acknowledge that, and so we thank You. We thank You for being the vine. We thank You for being just everything, the vine dresser. You do it all to make sure that we remain in You so that when we ask, we can have those things that we ask because You provided everything for us to be able to know what to do and how to do it. And then, praise God, to be able to be humbled by it when You do it. And then even, Father, humbled when You don't do it because You know, we know that You're doing it because we don't necessarily know what to do with it or it would make us worse. And so we just
Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for so many things. And we ask that you allow this lesson to really encompass our hearts, since we're talking about the heart. And we want you to take it, Father, and do what you need to do with it so that we can be one and be in obedience with you, so that we can take and get all the nutrients that is necessary in that love that you give to our hearts. Father, again, let me be removed and you become focused as I teach this word on tonight. Let those that are listening, Father, again, have their ears and their eyes open to hear what it is that needs to be heard, and then to do the things that need to be done to make sure that the word permeates into their lives and into their hearts and into their actions. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Like I said, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empower to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so my voice is a little cracked today, and I'm trying hard to slow down so that everything that I say on tonight will necessarily hit your heart, but definitely give you something to think about and to make you be moved with passion, not for me, but for you, and to make sure that you do what God has called you to do. So I started this broadcast this week with heart attack, and I thought it was point because, praise God, a week ago I had a heart attack. And so I hadn't been feeling well, and of course I haven't been feeling well for a while, but I'd been getting better. And so I didn't quite understand the process, again, because I hardly ever understand the process, because praise God, God has me going through so many processes. But nevertheless, this time I think was the peak of the mountain. So I'm hoping I'm going on the other side. But nevertheless, I've experienced so many things in this past year. And I remember it started when I thought that it was time for me to start my ministry. Amen. Nevertheless, the key word, my, there's no such thing. But nevertheless, I've been sick ever since. And so I didn't understand. Well, what, I'm not understanding the message or the process. I mean, I kind of get it because, amen, you know, I know enough about the word, know enough examples, I know enough testimonies from other people. I love biographies, and so I love, you know, processing people's stories and how they were wayward with the things of God, and the challenges that they had to go through with that. And then when they were on top with the things of God and the move of God, and how the move of God was, I mean, I love those type of stories because I know if he does it for one, he can do it for me. Nevertheless, my story wasn't turning or evolving in that direction. So I've done, at least I believe, my part, because I have several degrees and I have several awards and different things on ministry, and doing the things that I thought was necessary to make sure that I studied to show myself approved to rightly divide God's word, and that I was trying my best to live the life that God called me to live. But I didn't realize that that whole process of me going through cancer last year was necessarily for me to learn what I needed to do to be more in tune to him, but it was more in tune for me. And so I thought I got the message because, praise God, things were changing. But then at the beginning of this year, it started again. I didn't even have stomach problems when I had cancer in the stomach, but now I'm having problems with my stomach. And then the blood pressure, it wouldn't be controlled. And so I didn't quite understand, Lord, I'm trying to avoid Pepsi. I'm trying to avoid pizza and all the candy that I've eaten. I've lost 40 pounds. I mean, what am I not doing right? And so in the process, many times, and I want you to see yourself in life, because I don't want it to be all about me, but I want you to see, because I can only speak from my preference, but on my experience, but I want you to see some of yours, how sometimes we go through things and we go through things, and it's like, Lord, will I ever get a break? Because I'm doing the things that I believe are right. I'm doing what you're calling me to do. I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible. But the thing that I think that the God arrested, talking about heart attack and the rest, but arrested me most was I was doing them what I thought I should be doing, not necessarily what God called me to do. And so God told me to write this book. And then he gave me a platform to be able to write the book and write the book in 60 days. Oh, it was 90 days. 90 days. And for whatever reason, I didn't get done. I got a good portion of it done, but I just didn't complete the task. And then there were some other things God called me to do, and I thought, And so I realized that I am me, so busy trying to do what I think is best and what I'm limited in my limits because, you know, I'm still dealing with cancer. I'm still, you know, going through the treatments and going through surgeries and different things. So this is what I can do in the midst of this. And this is what, how I'm praying. And this is how I'm, you know, fellowshipping with believers. And this is how I'm helping people because I'm in control. And didn't realize how much I was navigating still, even though going through all that, depending on the Lord and praying for him to heal me and believing that I'm reading more and studying more, but I'm still divine, forgetting that he's divine. And I say that often because it's my favorite scripture. He is divine. I am a branch. As long as I stay connected to him, I will bear fruit. Now, I'm bearing fruit because I can see it, because I see how I'm blessing people, but I'm still forgetting. I am not blessing anybody. God is using me, and he's using me even in my state. And so it goes to show you, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're on the high end or in the middle or at the low, God can still use you. And so you can't get caught up in believing that I can't do this because I'm sick or I'm bedridden or I can't walk or I can't see or I can't speak. God can use us all, but we have to be open and we have to be available. So nevertheless, getting back to what happened to me last week. So last week I was excited because I had the heart attack and they were still doing some really cool stuff. It wasn't cool going through the process, but it still was cool because I was still able to minister because, you know, I'm going to try to find a way to minister at any opportunity. And I knew I was going to do the broadcast from the hospital bed and told the people, you just can't come in here between 9 and 10, praise God. I'm going to do my broadcast because hook or crook, I'm going to do my assignment. But even in the midst of all of that, I still had to assess why. Lord, did you really want me to do it from the hospital, or is that just something I wanted to do? Am I really taking healing really seriously? Am I doing what is necessary? Because a girlfriend of mine texted me a few moments ago, and she was like, Rhea, you got this happy, cheery thing on the outside. But what is going on the inside? What are you running from? What are you doing? What are you avoiding? What challenges are you not dealing with that's causing you turmoil on the inside and on the inside of my body that is manifesting on the outside? And so I talked to my aunt today, and she's in the hospital. And she was saying how it was almost like it was a recording from what I had said, you know, how people was just busy and you know, it's just not available. And she needed, and just people, you know, and she said she cried out to God, and he revealed to her, sometimes I shut those taps off. I make sure that there is nobody for you to contact because I need for you to come to me. And so I had to learn that too and understand it, but it reminded me again, Leah, you're going to keep going around this merry-go-round until you realize that I am divine and you're just a branch. And as long as you stay connected to me, I'll continue to bless you, absolutely, because your heart is there, you want, and you have a passion to serve me. So I'm going to use it. But don't get it twisted. You are not in control. I am. And so I think sometimes I forget that. And as much wisdom and as understanding I've been praying for and reading and studying, I still to forget. And so my challenge to you with my heart attack is to see that it wasn't necessarily a heart attack from the outside, because at the end of the day, I came out with no problems with my heart. How does that happen? How do you have a heart attack and you have no damage in your heart? That's God. But he had to grab my attention again to show me, Leah, let me show you what I have been doing behind the scenes for you. So while I'm in the hospital, of course, they're going to do all these tests and they're running all these things. Now, some of this stuff I kind of knew, but I didn't really pay much attention to because a couple of doctors said no and a couple of doctors said yes. And so I hate when doctors argue over my situation. And I've had a lot of stuff go on that God has mysteriously healed to confound the wise. And it wasn't until today that my daughter brought it to my attention. She said, "Mommy, you every time you go to the hospital, you always talk about confound the wise." And that has been my prayer since the beginning, when those tumors first appeared behind my eyes, when I first started having medical issues. My plea was confound the wise, and that's go. And so I'm reminded, and I want you to be reminded, God is not a temporary God. God is a generational God. And so when you pray, many times when we put those seeds in the earth, they continue to turn. And so I'm believing and trusting because I prayed that prayer so much and I believed it and I stood on it and I fasted and I meditated and I did whatever I needed to do to confound the wise because I needed my eye to go back in the socket. But nevertheless, those prayers have multiplied and grown that I believe the manifestation will be through my children's children's children because I was sincere when I prayed those prayers, and I honored those prayers by doing what God called me to do, and he's manifesting. And so let me tell you again how he's manifesting. So nevertheless, as I said, had the heart attack, so they did all these tests. And in the midst of these tests, they did a test on my brain. And so I had shared before that, you know, that I had a stroke and had aneurysms and all that through the whole cancer bit. Well, it kind of was on pause because, you know, there's other stuff. I had to have surgery, had to have the cancer removed, and then, you know, other things. I forgot about the brain, but nevertheless. So today, or not today, but this week, in the process of getting the results back from this test, they discovered that the right side of my brain, and I hope, pray I don't get choked up on this, but the right side of my brain, there was a clogged artery. And I believe I told some of you that that's what they had found when they were trying to do the scans for the cancer. And they found that I had a clogged artery in the brain. Well, it was alerting for them because I had the aneurysms and I had a stroke, and none of us knew we had a stroke, including me. And so that was so profound at that point. Insurance was like, no, the wrong focus. Go back to the cancer. So we kind of forgot about it. But today, when they explained that the clogged artery in my brain is on the right side of my brain, and the artery is the main artery that pumps blood to my brain, that artery is 100% closed. I'm going to say that again. The artery, not veins, the artery that pumps blood into the veins of my brain on the right side is 100% blocked. And they were mystified that I was not paralyzed from the complete right side of my body. They said when that completely shut to 100%, I should have had a massive stroke where I lost complete mobility of my right side. But it didn't. Guess what God did? God allowed the pressure, I guess, who knows, but the pressure from those that artery, I guess, broke. And instead of it breaking for me to have a stroke, it broke into little vessels. And those vessels connected and wound their way around the blockage and met back into that artery. How did that happen? That doesn't happen. And so they're confused. They're like, you didn't feel that? Nothing happened. I'm like, I didn't know I had a stroke neither. How did that happen? Well, it happens because God wants to confound the wise. Now, am I communicating that properly? Probably not, because I should be making doctors fall to their knees just from seeing that alone, because they were confused just as I was confused. Cause, you know, now I know I have migraine headaches, and I know that my face twitches and I have spasms that are beyond understanding. It feels like my ear is going to reach to the other side. And I try to explain it, and nobody ever pays attention because, oh, okay, and they just give me medication. So all the while God was working his thing. Maybe that was during that process, but nevertheless, it's done. So they don't know what to do with it. So now there's another issue. There is an aneurysm that's forming in the upper part of my carotid artery in my on the right side of my neck. And so they don't know what to do with it. So I have to see a vascular surgeon on Friday to figure out what they're going to do with it. Are they going to do surgery? Because if they do surgery and it's blocked too much, I could have a heart attack and die. Because you can't fix that if you open it and you're not right. And then, or do we just leave it alone and figure out how to do what we need to do to unclog it? And so they're all perplexed. I'm not, praise God, because that little miracle alone is enough to make me finish my book, make me go sit down somewhere and really do what God has called me to do, because he's given me way too many chances that are deadly chances. I'm reminded, Phil, you got to do what you're told to do. So when I looked up a heart attack, and so my doctor told me, he said, Leah, stop going on the internet and listening to Dr. Google and just sit down and let me get all the information and do one story. Because I don't want you going to other places, and because you know me, I'll go see another doctor. But nevertheless, he wants me, let's wait, let's get all of our information in one place and then go from there. And so I thought, Lord, why is that significant? And so I thought long and hard, and when I thought about it, what do I normally do when I don't understand something? I do go to Google. But I wanted to understand what this really meant, a heart attack. And it says a heart attack is a blockage of blood flow to the heart muscle. And a heart attack is basically a medical emergency. When the attack occurs, it's when the blood clot blocks the blood flow to the heart. Without blood, tissue loses oxygen and dies. Symptoms include tightness or pain in the chest, neck, back, arms, and fatigue, lightheadedness, abnormal heartbeats, and anxiety. Women are more likely to have than men. And then treatment ranges from lifestyle changes, cardiac rehabilitation, to medication, stents, and bypass surgery. So I had a procedure on Monday right before the broadcast, and I still broadcast nevertheless, where they did a stent procedure where they were going to put stents because they thought they had to put stents in my heart because I had a heart attack. Well, praise God, no stent, no bypass. I haven't taken medication because they said I don't necessarily need medication, but you best to believe I'm going to be doing some lifestyle changes. And so I'm grateful that God did that for me. But then I thought about it spiritually. Okay, that man, God, what do I need to do for my heart? What happens when you have a spiritual heart attack? Now, we have to make sure because, praise God, without the heart, we can't really survive. And so we need the heart. So we need to make sure that we make the right lifestyle changes. And lifestyle changes are not necessarily what I'm going to be putting in my mouth, which I am going to be making sure that it's going to be difficult to give up my candy. Lord have mercy, that's going to be hard. But I can give up meat. That's not a problem because I can do vegetables. I don't have problems with that. But I'm trying to find substitutes. And so I'm serious this time because, amen, I ain't trying to die. And that was too close to comfort for me. And so well, I'm going to be obedient, but I'm going to need your help. I don't want to do it without you because that's been my problem, doing stuff without you. So I'm going to lean not to my own understanding. I'm going to lean to you and trust in you and let you lead my path. So when I wanted to get out, and so my favorite place in the whole world, scary enough, is Walmart. So we go to Walmart, and I get my little cart, and I'm like, Lord, what substitutes can I make? And so didn't know cereal could be my new candy. Nevertheless, Cheerios is my friend. And so I put some in a bag, got different flavors, put some in a bag, and amen. Who knew Jolly Ranchers could be substituted for Cheerios? Nevertheless. But I know that I have to make some severe changes in order for me to have a healthy heart. And not only do I have to have a healthy heart physically, but I need to have a physically healthy heart emotionally. I'm already doing the medical part. But spiritually is most important. Because if my spiritual heart is in tune, you better believe everything else will line up. Because now I'm listening to God, I'm paying more attention to God. I'm not just reading because this is something I want to read or something I want to study, but what do you want me to study? And now I do that. well, praise God, I will read something and I'll get distracted. And before I know it, I'm back with David. But God is calling me to read other people, but I love David. And so somehow I end up back to what I want to do. And God is showing me, no, your heart is not in the right condition. I'm going to need you to work that out. I'm like, okay, Lord, so how do I do that? How do I navigate through that? And so I start reading because that's my thing. I love to study and I love to research. And so I came upon this article and I thought it was the really coolest thing. And it talked about stages of spiritual heart disease. And I thought it would be really cool because some of these things affected me. And so I'm gonna say the names. And so if that's a rock and it hits you, amen. Write it down so you can study because I know a lot of these rocks hit me. But it says that conditions and spectrums of the heart based on life, it caused an unhealthy heart, loss, grief, sorrow. And then I was confused that it had joy, pain, peace, and contentment. I thought, how could those be conditions of the heart? But I guess you can have good conditions because you want to have a healthy heart. So joy, peace, and contentment are all part of the good conditions of the heart. But let's talk about loss, grief, sorrow, pain, all those things that we ignore. And one of the things that I think was the coolest thing that I learned about this article was it said that many times when we don't deal with loss, grief, sorrow, pain, and all the other things that can cause problems with our heart, we ignore them, about like how I've been. So they said that this clogged artery in my brain and the clogged artery in my carotid artery, that didn't happen overnight. That's been a course of years, months, times that I've been eating the wrong things and doing the wrong things, that buildup has been there. Not going to the doctor on a consistent basis for them to check to make sure. And so now it's at a stage where 100% blocked. He said that could have been 2, 3, 10. It's been, you know, nobody's really seen it or paid attention to it. But nevertheless, that's how sometimes we do our hearts with the things of God, that when we receive loss, we receive grief. Now, and I had to think about these things, and I thought, well, you know, praise God, I've had counseling before. But maybe I need to go back, because when I was really thinking about it, I'm like, did I really grieve my parents? Because that happened so fast. I was 7, I was 14, and then I had other people that died that were close to me, 16, 18. I mean, I just had a lot of deaths in my family, immediate family. And I don't even really think that I really processed my sister dying, because I remember her, and I remember that it was, you're too young to understand, you know, move on. And I remember I cried, and they was like, what you crying for? You don't know nothing about it. You're too young. But I did. And so nevertheless, those things get stored. And so because you don't deal with them don't mean they go away. You just store them. And for those of you that don't know, and I'm sure many of us do know, that when we have challenges in our lives that we don't address, I remember my old mentor used to say, what you don't address will address you eventually, because you just put it somewhere. It doesn't mean that the drawer is empty because you filed it in the back of the cabinet. It's still full. You have to empty that stuff out to heal. And so you have to do it in God's time, and you have to do it God's way. And that's one of the things that I think we forget, because oh, I see this cool counselor, or I see this cool conference, and I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to listen to this ministry or this minister sermon or whatever. Again, I'm going to listen to. Maybe God ain't ordained for you to do it that way, but because it's stamped Christian on it or got a pastor or a couple of scriptures, it's God's way. No, ma'am. No, sir. We have to do it the way God has us to do it so that we can be finished with it. That's what I love about God is forgiveness. How the sins that we commit and we ask for forgiveness, he don't bring them up again, but we do. We bring them up over and over again. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not skinny enough. And then you buy some new clothes or you get a new little piece of hair on your head and you're slipping and you think you're cute. And then as soon as somebody says, that don't look right, then we go back to the topic we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the line, the label, and then the lie. You get the line and then the label. Oh, I really am ugly. And then the enemy lies to you. Yep, you ain't never been cute. You remember? Ain't nobody ever said you was cute. And now you process it. Saints, we got to do it God's way. If we don't do it God's way, then we will be hurt. We will be hurt. And then we'll have long-lasting hurt because it will damage our heart, our spiritual, our physical heart, and our spirit, our physical heart. Because I told you, you put that in the back Rolodex file cabinet in your mind, it will eat you from the inside out. We got to change. And so this article, I liked that it had six stages. It had the broken heart, it had a fearful heart, had an angry heart, had a hopeless heart, had a hard heart, had a numb heart. And I thought, oh, wow, this is really cool. So you know how I do. I take it, and then I find some scriptures to go with, and I'm like, okay, oh, Lord, this will preach. Amen. So let's start with the broken heart. Now, the broken heart I thought was interesting because the broken heart, you know, praise God, many of us are not going to get around that, but we can go to God and he can fix it. But nevertheless, a broken heart to some degree, you know, our first love, you know, we really want a job and we didn't get it. We really want to do this and, you know, they don't choose us, whatever, you know, and it breaks our heart. But we can get past that. And so the thing that I think I love the most is how God does, is that I found a scripture that talks about what happens if you stay in that lane and then what will happen if God helps you to be delivered from it. So I love that Psalms 51:17 says, a broken spirit and a contrite heart God will not despise. So sometimes if we allow God to heal our heart, he'll bind it up and our wounds. But if we stay in a contrite spirit, amen, our heart can't be delivered or healed. And so it will work and it'll be difficult for us to overcome. And so when we think about love, you know, when you have your heart is rejected, or you really want this particular passion or love or whatever, and they take advantage of you and stomp on your heart and throw it away, and how if you don't heal from that, your broken heart will go to the next person, and pieces of that will stay with you because you carry it. Amen. And so we have to give that to God and allow him to heal us. And so it says in Psalms 147, verse 3, he heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. So, yes, they may have, you know, said bad things to you and hurt your feelings and kicked you to the curb, but give it to God. And the coolest part of that is that God, it's not our responsibility to go back and get people, but trust and believe, God is not going to let that go unsaid and undone, because he loves his people, and he's not going to let us be taken advantage of. And so it's interesting, one of the mentors that I had not long ago, she used to tell me often when people would do things, and she would say to them, ooh, you thought I could do something to you. Wait till God get a hold of you. You better repent, because you mess with one of his girls, you gonna get him. And so we have to be reminded that all those things happen. You know, I was broken, you know, believing that, Lord, I gotta go see this again. My heart was broken. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to do this again. But again, I gave it to him, and he said, no, fear not. Fear not. I am in control of this. Fear not. And so, amen, I'm not afraid. Amen. I know he's going to heal me. I just hope it's sooner than later, nevertheless. Next one, fearful heart. A fearful heart, and we know what that means. When we are afraid, and then it's not necessarily I'm scared because of the dark. I've been there before, too. But no, fearful is afraid to try something new, afraid to do what God called you to do. What is it, Leah, that's preventing you from finishing this book? Because you can write a paper and then... Why aren't you taking the time to actually write the book out? What are you afraid of? That's me. I'm not talking to self. Self, what you afraid of? Why won't you sit down and finish that book? It's simple. You ain't got but about four or five more chapters. Why is that difficult for you to sit down? Are you afraid of the success you may have? Are you afraid you're going to fear? Are you afraid the devil's going to really check you and see if that's right or not? I mean, do you not believe that God told you to write it? But don't you think that he's got you covered? What is it that's causing you to be obedient and to stop and do what it's supposed to do? And then I have to remember that love casts out all fear. If God called me to write the book, then write the book. If God calls you to do something, do it. What are you afraid of? Why are you allowing your heart to be full of anxieties that's preventing you from doing what God called you to do? It's simple. If he gave you the resources, I mean, if he gave you the assignment, he's going to give you the resources and share what you're supposed to do. Because if you allow that fear and that anxiety to build up in you, what does the word say? The word says that it will weigh you down. What scripture is that? That is Proverbs, well, I can't read it. Proverbs 131. We cannot allow the fear and anxiety of our hearts to weigh us down. We need to start speaking kind things and speaking the things that God has called us to so that we can do the things that he's called us to do. And then the other scripture that I had for this one, the fearful heart, is Isaiah 35:4. And it says, say to them that are a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. There is no reason for us to fear to do anything that God has called us to do, because he has the whole world in his hands. So that means he got money, he got time, he got resources, he got people, he got whatever you need, materials, whatever it is you need. He has it in his hands, and he can give it to you if he told you to do it. Amen. Now, the next one, I don't know that this would hit a rock for me because I'm not angry, but an angry heart. And so an angry heart is somebody that stirs up strife and doesn't quite understand how to put their emotions due self-control. And so what happens with an angry heart, and many times you can't see an angry heart, but you know if you have an angry heart or not. And so many times when people are broken and you don't deal with that, that brokenness turns to fear, and the fear, of course, it allows you to become angry. And when you become angry, then you're doing things that you're not able to manage your own emotions because you're operating out of hate and not out of love. And so when you have a heart that's dealing with past challenges or hurts or unforgiveness or disappointments, oftentimes, you know, you think many times when people are angry, they lash out on other people. But a lot of times you do it to yourself. You lash out on yourself. You're angry with yourself. You won't allow yourself to do certain things. You won't allow yourself to grow. You won't allow yourself to progress. You punish yourself because you don't deserve it. And it's amazing how we talk about people talk to themselves a little on the side of the crazy. But we all talk to ourselves from time to time because we tell ourselves what we, you don't deserve it. You deserve it. You should steal it. That's not a good thing. But we do. We tell ourselves things all the time. And so we have to be mindful. What type of heart are we operating in? Are we operating in a heart that God is pleased with? Are we secretly, because can't nobody see what we're actually doing on the inside that we're operating in, that is really manifesting whether we believe it or not? But you got to make sure that your heart is right. The next one is a hopeless heart. And I in so many ways, I kind of felt this for a long time. Not hopeless that I couldn't do the ministry, because I know I could do that. But nevertheless, but I was hopeless in the fact that I didn't think that I was going to be at the level where I believe God had showed me that I would get to. Because I'm too old. I'm always, you know, having challenges and illnesses. It's like, Lord, what, you know, okay, I'm just going to minister for them. That's why the whole pimp thing came up. I'm preaching in my pajamas. That's as far as I'm going to get. And my girlfriend was like, you better change some words and say you're preaching in your purpose and in your passion. You better change some words and fix your lips and do what God has called you to do. Get that hopelessness stuff out of your head and believe in your heart what God told you. And so I love that Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. where am I deferring? Like, you can. No, I do not want to be so physically sick that I allow that to become a spiritual sickness. And by no means of imagination, no. That's why, for me, I push myself to do the broadcast every Monday. Because I know and I believe, because I have to study, because I don't believe in sitting before this book board and ministering to y'all without doing my part. And so it keeps me motivated to study. It keeps me motivated to read. It keeps me motivated to be in the spirit, to seek God, to know what I'm supposed to say, because I don't know who's listening and whether this will be an inspiring word tonight or 5 years from now. And so I got to make sure that I'm what God has called me to do and called me to be. And so for me to be in my hopelessness that I'm not prepared and that I'm not well enough or I'm not small enough or skinny enough or cute enough or whatever the enemy whispers to me from time to time, I got to make sure that I change that. I got to make sure that I have my heart fixed on the things of what God said. And so I like Ephesians. I like all the Ephesians. But Ephesians 1:18 say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope that which he has called you, the riches and his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Okay, there's a couple words in here. I like inheritance. I like riches. I like his glory. And I have to be enlightened to be holy. Amen. And so all of those things, if you read the word, I promise you, you can't stay in a hopeless state. You can't stay in an angry state. You can't stay in a fearful state if you read the word, because if you read the word, you believe it. Amen. Now, you may need Google or a concordance or even somebody for that matter. Call them up. Can you give me a scripture on this or that? Because you got to have the word in your heart. You have to have the word in your heart. And a friend of mine I was talking to this week, and she was talking about, she said, them tablets, she said, the Bible talking about them tablets. She said, I try to memorize scriptures to get them on my tablets. I'm like, amen, preach, girl. But you got to write those scriptures. Get them in your heart. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Amen. I was mad because she was sincere. And you do, you have to get those scriptures in your heart till you believe them. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt, although I forget from time to time because I try to take the vine, but he is the vine. And if I remain in him and his word remains in me, I can ask. So, you know, they said I'm having a heart attack and I'm sitting outside by the trash can. How can I be having a heart attack sitting outside? These people won't call my name. You got to fix this. And he did. He put me in a private room. Praise God. Everybody else was in the hallway. I was in private room. Nevertheless, God will take care of you. You just got to trust and wait. And then wait to see the opportunity where you can minister. Because I still believe that's an opportunity for me to minister. And I look for them. I look for opportunities to minister to people. And I was able to get quite a few people. And one nurse, I call myself minister to. He ministered to me. Nevertheless, amen. God is amazing. He is amazing. But we have a kindred spirit, and we're going to be able to do some things even outside of the hospital. So, amen. 5, a hard heart. I like that Matthew 13:15 says, for the people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see their own eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, I will heal them. So basically, what is he saying? That if your heart wasn't that hard, that you'd be able to hear, you'd be able to see, and you'd be able to know that God could turn you away from that. But you're so cold-hearted and hard-hearted, then close it off. I know my daughter probably get mad at me, but when she was in undergrad, and she didn't quite know exactly what she wanted to do. I think she always knew she wanted to do environmental studies because she loves the environment, recycling and all that. I wanted her to do weather, but nevertheless, she was kind of confused a little bit where she wanted to go because somebody had introduced to her that she was a good DJ. But nevertheless, I told her, I said, if you don't go to God and ask God what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to always be confused. And so, well, one while, she just wasn't listening to me. She was doing her own thing. Fine. And so she had so many scholarships because, amen, God had taught me how to do that, but nevertheless. So she started losing them scholarships one by one by one. Hard, not listening. Don't want to listen. I ain't got time for you because I'm about to be a DJ. And so, amen. All I could do was pray because I had to turn my hands away because I kept trying to interfere, but her heart was hurt. I mean, her heart was hard. She had gone callous. She wasn't listening. Her ears and her eyes are not open. So what did I do? I prayed. And so this is what I prayed. It wasn't this exact scripture, but mainly it was basically this. Ezekiel 36:26. Lord, give her a clean heart, a new heart, and a new spirit that you will put in her, and take away the stony heart of flesh, and let her give you a heart, give you her heart, and give her your heart. Yeah, give her your heart. Okay, I rewarded that to make it how I said it, but it's Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also I will give, and a new spirit will I put in within you, and will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So what is that saying? That sometimes we can be so closed-minded to change that we don't even open our eyes or our ears. We can't hear anything. And it's unfortunate that sometimes God allows that because you have been so. I remember my grandmother years ago, bless her heart, she's going out. She used to talk about a reprobate state. God, you put you in a reprobate state. And that word scared me because I never, ever want to be in a reprobate state where your mind and your heart is completely closed to God and you're not open. I never want to be in that closed mind. But that sometimes, depending on how long you stay in a hard state, your heart will go callous, and praise God, you won't hear. And these are people that live in the past, won't let it go, just constantly bring it up, can't grow, can't move beyond the past because you've allowed your heart to be so hard. Number six, and I know that I'm running out of time, is numb or you just checked out. That's almost like the cold heart. But a cold heart, you know, you warm it up a little bit, you know, sometimes. But this one, you completely just clocked out. And so the word says in Matthew 24:12, it says, because of the increased wickedness, the love of most have grown cold. So when your heart cocks out, it's unfortunate because you've allowed pain, hurt, anger, fears, all the things that has happened to you over the years and over the months and having other people. I mean, you just allow it to consume you to the point where you're just numb, you're just existing. And that is a scary place to be. And all these things that I've talked about today, a numb heart, a cold heart, a fearful heart, a hard heart, these ain't just non-Christian. These Christian people have these kind of hearts. So we have to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, because this is not what God would have for us to be. And I pray that I wish I had more time, but I do want to make sure that I give you an antidote on how to get rid of all of this. And so, like I said, everything always goes back to David for me. But I love David because David was very, very expressive in his relationship to God. And because God said that he was after my heart, you better believe I want the next version of the Bible to have Leah, Dr. Happy, was a woman after Amy. And it's going too far. Okay, so what did David do? One, these are six steps too. David prayed. It never, no matter whether he's been wrong, whether he's right, what David was going to pray. You got to pray. And then number two is my favorite. I don't do it enough. But David cried. And so now I don't do too many tears, but I will cry out to God. Boy, I don't understand. You got to help us with that. So I talk to him on a regular basis. And I believe that's why I have the relationship that I have with him, because I do. I talk to him. When people talk about talking to yourself, no, I talk to him. This is me and you, Lord. What are we going to do? You going to get a doctor in here? I mean, is this the end? If this is the end, can you give me time to talk to my people? What? Amen. Cry out to him. He already knows. He already knows, and that's what makes number three most important. Complain. He You can complain to God. You already know he knows your heart. But I don't like this. What are you doing to me? Why do I keep being sick? I don't get this. I'm doing what you called me to do. Show me what I'm supposed to be doing because this ain't working. You know I want to do some things and I can't do them because I keep getting sick. How can I make these moves? Show me something. I'm mad. Hey, you, because you control all this. I'm not doing none of this. You're doing this to me. Has he struck me down? Nope. Have I disrespected him? Nope. Because I have a relationship, I'm saying it anyway. I think that's the thing that we forget sometimes. Now, I ain't saying be disobedient, I mean disrespectful, because amen, God can blink and you'll be a, just a vapor. But you can say what you mean and mean what you say. He's your father. These crazy kids now talking to us like they're crazy anyway. So, amen, we don't beat them down, don't kill them. Some people might, but amen. We understand where they're coming from just as God understands where we're coming from. I have a girlfriend, and she said, I just go scream. I go outside and scream. I'm like, for real? She said, yeah, you got to release. I'm like, and you just scream. And she's like, yeah, I just scream. I'm like, oh, that works for you? Okay. But whatever you got to do, do it to, unto God. Amen. So what? You got to pray. You got to cry out to God. Share your complaints. Number four, you got to trust. You got to trust that once you get all that out, amen, that God's going to give you an answer. And like he did, he gave you an answer. Then you keep doing you. I want to do this. I'm going to do this. When you turn that over to me, I promise you, you know, the floodgate, I'm going to be a salsa sipping saint because it's going to be something blessed. They're going to fall off the salsa. I'm going to have to sip it out the salsa because it's going to be too old cup of, anyway. You got to trust. And I believe and I trust that it will happen. I just want to know when, but nevertheless, I do trust. And then number five, you got to get in his presence. I think sometimes we forget that part, that we just talk to God any kind of way, blah, blah, blah. But there is an opportunity and a time that I have to close everything out and give him my undivided attention and worship and praise him and get into his presence. Now, am I talking to him in his presence? Yeah, because he's everywhere. But I'm talking about where you close everything out, where there's no distractions, and you are totally in his presence. And then last but not least is the main thing. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you need. You confess it. Just tell him what you want. Tell him what you need. And I guarantee you, it'll manifest. Lord, I need to go home. I'm not trying to stay in this hospital. I need you to help me. Now, I wasn't ready to go when I had to go. But my doctor scooped me up and was like, this is about to become a COVID floor, so you got to go home and heal. And so I kind of put that up. Amen. Saints, I promise you, God is there for you. You just got to know and do your part. Change your heart. And if your heart needs to be arrested, let him arrest your heart. Don't have a physical arrest. Amen. Let him arrest you and assess your heart. And assess your heart before he has to, because when he comes in, that's when the paddles are coming in. You don't want the paddles to come in. You want to assess your heart. Do I have a numb heart? Do I have a hard heart, a cold heart? Am I being too angry? Am I being too angry? What do I need to do, Lord? Fix it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not out of talk. I'm out of time and it's winding down. So I got to make sure that I always say that I close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song because every praise belongs to him because it does. And then I wanted to make sure that I say a major shout out to my auntie because she's having surgery on tomorrow and we have prayed and believe God is going to be in the hospital room and get away and there and home. And then we want to make sure that Block Talk, baby. Go to Block Talk. And so my daughter was doing my auditions today. She quite kind of forgot. Thank you. I pulled it up. And so anyway, close the broadcast with my grandson. Every praise belongs to God because she's my number one listener. And then I want to make sure that you remember that when we go close our day for the day, make sure you always, always end it with prayer. And when you start your day with prayer. And then throughout your day, you pray throughout your day. So start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise belongs to God. praise.
It's
to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up and
praise.
It's to our God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord. Come on, say every praise.